Now, my attention today is on 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. So if you could, please turn to that page, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16, because I will be making references to this passage. Now, there was this couple who were unbelievers, but they decided to spend to read the Bible 1 hour every night. Now, after reading the Bible for several nights, one night the husband turned to the wife and said, "My dear, if this book is true, we are lost." And so in desperation, they continued to read God's Word. And they were very, very anxious. And then a few nights later, the husband turned to the wife and said, "My dear, if this book is true, there is hope for us. We may be saved." And then they continued to read God's Word. And then one night, both of them, guided by God's mighty Holy Spirit, moved by God's mighty Holy Spirit, they came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They were gloriously saved. They came to this conclusion. They said, "This book is absolutely true. And we can now rejoice in this wonderful hope, the hope of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face someday. Yes, this book is true, and we are glad to receive the word in this book." Now, my point is this for this morning. If a person receives the word of God, just as this couple did, he cannot be the same again. There must be a change in his life. If he receives God's word as God's word, he cannot be the same again. Something must necessarily happen to him. And so they read God's word, received God's word, and they were convicted of their sins. They continued to read God's word, and then they received God's word, and then they realized that the Lord Jesus Christ had come to die for them, and that he was buried for them, and he rose up from the dead for them. And then they realized that there was hope of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they continued to read God's word, and they further received God's word, and then they came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. The result, as we said, they were gloriously saved, and they began to rejoice in this wonderful hope, something they never did before. But now they were able to rejoice in this wonderful hope that one day they would be seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, a hope that they never had before. And now they had, and they were rejoicing in this hope. One time, I met a former Roman Catholic who had come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I asked him, "How did you come to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" And you know what he said? "I read the Bible, and I came to know the truth." He just read the Bible, and he came to know the truth. Yes, he read God's Word, received it. And once he understood what was said in the Word of God, which told him that salvation is not by faith plus works, which the Roman Catholics believe. Yes, they believe that salvation is by faith plus works. But once he understood from God's Word that salvation is by faith and by faith alone, and not faith plus works, he was very happy to receive this truth, and he was gloriously saved. So I have 2 points this morning. First of all, the Word of God received. And my second point is the Word of God rejected. Now, the Word of God received, and that's my first point, as I said. When Paul, Silas, and Timothy brought the gospel to the folks at Thessalonica, this was what Paul said. Verse 13. Of chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. This was what he said. I read for you. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing," Paul was saying, "because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye receive it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, you receive it as the word of God." They received what they heard from Paul, Silas, and Timothy as the Word of God, which effectually, which means effectively or powerfully, worketh also in you that believe. They received the word. Not as the word of men. They received the word that was spoken by Paul, Silas, and Timothy, not as the word of man, but as the word of God. So to them, what they heard from Paul, Silas, and Timothy was something that was infallible, something that was completely error-free, and certainly it was not the opinions of men that they heard. They heard the very word of God from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Now today, we have the Word of God, the Bible. Now how do we regard it? We have this word here. Now how do you regard it, friends? Now, do we regard it as the Word of God? Now if we say that we regard it as the Word of God, then we must necessarily receive it as the Word of God. Don't you think so? You say this is the Word of God, then we must receive it as the Word of God. In other words, we must then receive it as error-free. We must receive the Word of God as being error-free, infallible, something that is authoritative. It is God's Word. And then if it is God's Word, it must be absolutely true. And then we must do what it tells us to do. Because what it tells us to do must be absolutely right. And that precisely was what the folks at Thessalonica did. They received the Word of God as God's Word. And then they did what the Word of God told them to do. Because they received it as God's Word. Now the next question is, how come? How come the folks at Thessalonica received what was spoken by Paul, Silas, and Timothy as God's Word? Now we have the answer partially given to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. Let's just look at chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost." You see, so the Word of God came to them in power and in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit worked in the hearts of the folks at Thessalonica and then caused them to receive the Word of God by what? By faith. They simply receive it by faith. You look at verse 13. For this cause, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You see the words there? That believe. Faith. They simply believe. No other explanation as to why they should receive God's word as God's word. They simply believe it and receive it. Now the next question is, how do we know that they really did receive God's word as God's word? How do we know? Now, you will remember the couple I mentioned at the start of my message. Did they really receive God's word? Did they? Now we know that they did because there was a change in their life. You see, before that they did not know how to rejoice in the hope that one day they will be seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. They didn't know how to rejoice. But the moment they received God's word as God's word, and when they came to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, they were transformed. Now they were able to rejoice in this hope that they had in the Lord. Now in the case of the folks at Thessalonica, now we know that they surely did receive God's word. Now how do we know? Because they were transformed. That is why we know that they really had received God's word as God's word. The word of God worked effectually in their hearts. The word of God worked powerfully in them. And look what happened. You turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6. Something we covered previously, but I think it's good for us to review. Verse 6. And you became followers of us. Paul says, you became followers of us, you received God's word as God's word, and you became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Can you see those words there? You received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. In other words, they received the word of God with great joy. They became very joyous people. And then verse 7, so that ye were examples to them that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. They received God's word as God's word, as a result of which they became exemplary believers. So we know that they did indeed receive God's word as God's word, because they became exemplary believers. And verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. In other words, they became very evangelistic. From them sounded out the gospel to places in Achaia and in Macedonia. Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So what happened to them? Did they show any fruit of repentance? Of course they did. Yes, they turned from their idolatry to worship the one true living God. And look at verse 10. You see, they became very hopeful Christians. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So you see, when the folks at Thessalonica received God's word as God's word, they showed evidence that they had really received God's word as God's word. First of all, by producing the fruit of repentance, they turned from idolatry to serve the one true living God. And the other thing that happened to them was that they produced the fruits of righteousness. They became exemplary believers, and then they became very evangelistic, they became very joyful people, and they also became very hopeful people, right? They were hoping that one day they would be seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face when they see Him. So friends, these were evidences of their receiving God's word as God's word. Now, then another thing happened to them which showed that they had really received God's word. Look at verse 14. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. In other words, they followed those people in the churches in Judea, in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. They suffered persecution, just like the Jewish Christians suffered persecution in Judea. Now, Judea was the land of the Jews, with Jerusalem as its capital. And it was in Jerusalem, and it was in Judea, that the early Christians first suffered persecution. And don't forget, those folks who were early Christians were all Jews. They suffered persecution at the hands of whom? At the hands of their fellow countrymen. Who were their fellow countrymen? The Jews, of course. They suffered persecution at the hands of the Jews. And the apostles, including, of course, the great apostle Paul, were all threatened, beaten, thrown into prison by the Jewish religious leaders. And then, remember the case of the martyr Stephen. He was stoned to death. And Paul surely knew all these things about Christians being persecuted, because before his conversion, he was one of the greatest persecutors of the church. Remember that? Before his conversion, he would go everywhere to ferret out the Christians, Jewish Christians in particular. And he would bring them to the religious leaders, the Jewish religious of those days, the Jewish authority, for these Christians to be punished. Yes, and he would force them to blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when these Jewish Christians were put to death, he gave his support. So he knew all about what was meant by persecuting the Christians in those days. And surely there was not just one persecutor like the great apostle Paul before his conversion. There must have been many of them who were as fanatical as the great apostle Paul before his conversion. And now the Christians at Thessalonica were suffering exactly the same thing. Persecution at the hands of whom? at the hands of their fellow Thessalonians, the Gentile Thessalonians. Verse 14, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, meaning the Gentile Thessalonians, even as they, the Jews, have suffered persecution at the hands of the Jews. Alright? Now, did the folks at Thessalonica, who were believers, go seeking for persecution? Did they go around saying, I'm a believer now, persecute me? Did they go around doing that? No, my dear friends. They were not intentionally trying to imitate the Jewish Christians. By no means. And they were not aiming to be persecuted. But even though they did not intend to imitate the Jewish Christians, and even though they did not go around seeking persecution, my dear friends, when they received the word of God as God's word, the result was identical. They were persecuted. And they were persecuted at the hands of the fellow Thessalonians. Now the truth is, we Christians do not have to go around looking for persecution. Openly profess to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and confess His name, chances are we would attract persecution. Now, having said that, I must distinguish clearly between what is genuine persecution and having a persecution complex. Some people have a persecution complex. They see persecution from people in practically everything. They say their boss persecuted them, or their boss persecutes them. They say their boss rates them very, very low in their performance because they are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the truth is, the boss did not rate them very low because they were believers. The truth is, the boss rated them very low because their performance was really very, very poor. They were slothful, they were lazy, they were careless in their work, and so they were rated low. Or people might say, or believers or professed believers might say, people around them do not like them because they say they are believers, and so people around them do not like them. Now the truth is, these professed Christians could be very quarrelsome, could be selfish, self-centered. That is why people do not like them. It is not because that they are Christians that people do not like them. It is because of what they really are. Selfish, self-centered, quarrelsome. That is why people do not like them. But friends, there are situations in which we know that we are genuinely persecuted when we receive God's word as God's word. Now, for example, as I said before, we could be bypassed for a promotion because we are believers. The boss does not want the candidate that is going to be promoted to be one who is not going to tell lies. So he's not going to promote a Christian to into that position. And so if we say that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not going to be promoted by such a boss. Friends, that is persecution. Or there are people who simply can't stand our being joyous believers, who would always want to stand on the side of righteousness. So they will try to make life very difficult and life miserable for us. Friends, that's persecution. And sometimes, the saddest thing is that the one who persecutes us is the one who is very, very close to us. And I dare say that the greatest persecution that I received from any single human being was the persecution from my own father. When my older brother became a Christian, he was very, very severely persecuted by my father. And then when I became a Christian, he persecuted me also. And he didn't stop persecuting me until he was very, very late into his evening years. Now, I knew this Hindu man years ago who became a Christian. After he became a Christian, there was really no peace in the home because his wife was very, very antagonistic towards Christianity. And so who was his persecutor? His wife, of course. And I remember in those days he's coming to church very, very secretly. He didn't want his wife to know that he was coming to church. Not because he was scared of his wife, because he wanted to have peace in his home. So he came to church secretly. Now we should not be surprised, my dear friends, if persecution should ever come our way. The moment we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we can expect persecution to come our way. Now who says so? The Lord says so. Yes, He says so. I'd like us to look at John chapter 15, verse 18. Yes, the moment we become believers and we publicly confess that we are believers and we live like Christians, we can expect to be persecuted. And the Lord says so. John chapter 15 and verse 18. John 15 and 18. I read this for you. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Isn't that clear enough? The Lord says, if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. If the world persecuted our Lord, it is to be expected that we will be persecuted because we are lesser than our Lord. The Master is persecuted, we are sure to be persecuted. But let's be comforted, my dear friends, when we are persecuted, because it does show that we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God in Matthew chapter 5, the very words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ say this. The Lord says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now when you are persecuted, you know, if you are living true to the Lord, if you are persecuted, praise the Lord that you are persecuted. Because you are persecuted because you are a member of the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord further says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And the Lord said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. When the folks at Thessalonica received God's word as God's word, they were transformed. So what happened to them was they brought forth fruit of repentance. The fruit of repentance. They turned from their idolatry to the one true living God. And they also brought forth fruits of righteousness. As we said, they became exemplary believers. They became joyful Christians. They became hopeful Christians. And they became very, very evangelistic. And then one consequence of their receiving God's word as God's word and became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ was that they suffered severe persecution at the hands of their fellow Thessalonians. Now, like the Thessalonian Christians, if we have truly received God's word as God's word into our hearts, we must necessarily bring forth the fruit of repentance. We must turn from our sins and we must turn to the one true living God. And we must necessarily produce the fruits of righteousness, just like the Thessalonian Christians produce fruits of righteousness. And if we have received God's word as God's word and have become true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can expect persecution to come our way. And very often the persecution that comes our way may not be something that is very blatant. It could be something that is very subtle. We can be isolated, we can be bypassed for a promotion, or we can be discriminated against because we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But let the word of the Lord comfort us. He says this, I read the same verse again for you, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you are persecuted, be comforted, because that shows very, very clearly that you are a citizen of heaven. That is why you are persecuted. Now my next point is the word of God rejected. Well, I've covered the word of God received, now the word of God rejected. Now the Thessalonians were persecuted by those who rejected God's word. Now on the face of it, it would appear that the Thessalonian Christians were indeed persecuted by the Gentile fellow Thessalonians. Now, that was quite true. But if you get to the very bottom of it, who was responsible for the persecution of the Thessalonian Christians? Do you think it was the Jews or the Gentiles? My dear friends, it was the Jews. All right, I refer you to Acts chapter 17, verse 5. Yes, the Thessalonians were persecuted, not actually by the Gentile Thessalonians. Of course, they were persecuted by them, but if you get to the very bottom of it, you'll see that it was the Jews that persecuted them. Acts chapter 17, verse 5. But the Jews, you see, Paul, Silas, and Timothy brought the gospel to Thessalonica. And then they brought the gospel, preached the gospel to them, to the folks there in the synagogue. And 17 verse 5 says, but the Jews which believed not, in other words, they rejected God's word, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company. Now, who were these people that they gathered? My dear friends, they were not Jews. Those who were gathered were Gentile. They were Gentile Thessalonians. And set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Now, you will recall, I covered this before, Jason was actually the host of Paul, Silas, and Timothy when they came to the city of Thessalonica. Now, so this big riot that came to assault the house of Jason thought that Paul, Silas, and Timothy were in the house of Jason, and so they assaulted the house of Jason in the hope of bringing these people out, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, out to the people. For what purpose? To be persecuted, of course. To be stoned, perhaps. Now, historically, the Jews were guilty of persecuting true believers. Now, why? Why were they guilty of persecuting true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? The real reason is that they rejected God's word. That is why they persecuted the true believers throughout their whole history. Look at verse 14 again. For ye brethren, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they please not God, and are contrary to all men. Verse 16. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up the sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Verse 15 says, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. You see, the Jews were given the oracles of God. They were given the truth of God. Now, were they not shown the way of salvation? Did they not know the way of salvation? Friends, they knew the way of salvation. The Jews knew the way of salvation. And were they to keep the way of salvation to themselves? What do you think? No, my dear friends, they were supposed to share the way of salvation with non-Jews, with the other nations, but they failed to do that. Now, did they not know that salvation was by faith and by faith alone in the one true living God? Sometimes you read the Old Testament, you might think that, well, they didn't know. But they knew, my dear friends, they knew that salvation was by faith and by faith alone in the one true living God. Because their great ancestor, Abraham, believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Did the Jews know that? They knew. All their descendants, of course, knew. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. But friends, they kept the gospel to themselves. They did not share the gospel with others. In fact, they rejected God's word. And the Lord promised to prosper them and said to them, if you obey me, I will prosper you. But they rejected God's word. They chose to disobey the Lord, and they chose to rebel against him. Now, I'd like us to turn to this verse in the Old Testament that shows us very, very clearly that they truly and truly rejected God's word. Jeremiah 6, verse 19. Jeremiah 6 verse 19. So that we may know why the wrath of God came upon the Jews. Jeremiah 6:19. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Okay, you see Isaiah first, and then you see next is Jeremiah. Jeremiah 6:19. I read this verse for you. Jeremiah 6:19. Hear, O earth. Behold, I will bring evil upon these people. These people refers to the Jews. Even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law. But what did they do? They rejected it. They rejected God's law. They rejected God's word. They went after other gods. And what did God do? God was very, very merciful to them. He sent prophets after prophets to warn them against disobeying Him. He sent prophets after prophets to try to persuade them to come back to the Lord. But you know what they did to the prophets? We read earlier on. Who both killed the Lord Jesus Christ and their own prophets. And that was what they did. They persecuted the prophets and they killed the prophets. And then their greatest and the worst sin was that they crucified their Messiah. Murdered their Messiah, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as a follow-up, what did they do? They persecuted the apostles. Next, they persecuted the Jewish Christians. And now, whom were they persecuting? The Gentile Christians, the Gentile Thessalonians. They instigated the Gentiles in Thessalonica to persecute the Gentile Christians. Yes, they didn't do it directly, but they did it indirectly. Now, why did the Jews commit this crime against the Lord? They did it because they rejected God's word. And when they rejected His word, they were actually saying this to God. God, we do not want you to rule over us. Yes, that's what they were saying. We do not want you to rule over us. And what did they prefer to worship? They preferred to worship idols in the history. They preferred to worship idols. Why did they prefer to worship idols? Why did they prefer to reject God's word? Why? Because they wanted to have the license to sin. That's the reason. They wanted to do what they wanted to do, the license to sin. And they expressed this kind of thinking right at the very beginning of their history, when Israel was just a very, very young nation. They came out of the land of Egypt. Yes, they came out from the slavery of Egypt and they came to this place called Mount Sinai. And there was the occasion where Moses went up to Mount Sinai to receive God's commandments. And he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Israelites took advantage of the situation. The cat is away, let the mice come out to play. And so they erected a golden calf to worship. Why did they do that? They didn't want God to rule over them. They wanted to have a license to sin. And so we read in Exodus 32 verse 6. I think it's good for us to read that verse. Let's turn to Exodus. Genesis, Exodus, second book of the Bible, Exodus 32 verse 6. Okay, Exodus 32 and verse 6. And they rose up early on the morrow, meaning the Israelites, and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings to the golden calf, not to God, alright, to God, to the golden calf that they erected. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Did you read that? My dear friends, they wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to have the sexual orgies. That's why they raised up that golden calf for themselves to worship, so that they could have the license to sin. Friends, they rejected God, they rejected His word. Throughout the history of the Israelites, the thinking was the same. God, we don't want you to rule over us. We prefer idols so that we can have the license to do what we want to do. And so they rejected God's word. And the result was, of course, they persecuted those who brought the word of God to them. And during the time of the great apostle Paul, yes, they committed one terrible sin. Alright, and it is mentioned here in verse 16. Look at What happened? They rejected God to rejected the word of God to this extent. Verse 16. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles. They forbade Paul, Silas, and Timothy to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their own sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. They forbade Paul, Silas, and Timothy to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. In other words, they were stopping people from hearing the gospel. Do you not think this is a terrible sin? My dear friends, it's a terrible sin to prevent people from hearing the gospel of truth, to come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the Jews were guilty of that. Yes, and because they rejected God's word, they were filling up their sins. Filling up their sins. In other words, storing up their sins for the day of judgment. And did the day of judgment come down upon the Jews? It did. In the year AD 70, the city of Jerusalem was ransacked by the Romans, and the temple of Jerusalem was burned down by the Romans. And the Jews, as of that date, were scattered all over the world. And they were scattered all over the world for a period of about 2,000 years. And during the time when they were in exile, they suffered tremendously. They suffered great, great persecution. You know, they said something that was very, very terrible, that brought condemnation upon themselves. When the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, which was the worst crime that they committed, my dear friends, you know what they said? Let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And surely God's judgment did come down upon them. Now, when a nation rejects God's word, it will surely commit grievous sin against the Lord. The communists reject God's word and they persecuted the saints. In church history, the Roman church rejected God's word as the sole authority of faith and practice of faith. Not that they totally reject God's word, but they said the word of God is not the sole authority of faith and practice. And what they did was they created traditions and put their traditions to be on par with the word of God. They say that both of them have got equal authority, the word of God and the traditions of man. And so what was the result? The result was they persecuted the saints who stood up on the belief that God's word is the sole authority of faith and of practice. And many saints were burned at the stake for holding that position for the Lord. Then when people in the so-called free world reject God's word, what happens to the fabric of society? It breaks down. For example, people reject the Genesis account in the free world. They say the Genesis account is not true. Yes, they dismiss it as some Jewish fairy tales and some Jewish myths. And as a result of which, they reject, for example, the concept of marriage. They reject the truth that marriage was instituted by the one true living God. And it is to be a one man, one woman relationship for life. But friends, they reject God's word as the truth, and they say that the marriage concept is not something that is instituted by God. And so they say marriage can be a one man relationship, or one woman relationship. And because they reject this concept of marriage today, what do we have? Rampant premarital sex, rampant broken marriages, rampant broken homes, and then we have, of course, rampant homosexual relationship today. And today, homosexuality is regarded as something normal, regarded as an alternate lifestyle. And many politicians today, because they want to be politically correct, not necessarily morally correct, but politically correct, are endorsing gay marriages. But the Word of God condemns homosexuality. It is very, very clear. It condemns homosexual relationship. But today, if you and I were to speak out against homosexual relationship, what would people see us as? They see us as people who are very, very narrow-minded. Who do not have any kind of understanding of human rights. That's how they will see us. Don't you think so? Yes. And today, because people reject God's word, we see the lowering of moral standards of the laws of the country. The standards of the laws become lower and lower and lower, to the extent that today the laws would practically lose their teeth. In fact, some countries which are Christian in name sometimes appear to be in the state of lawlessness. Don't you think so? Why? Because they have rejected God's word. That's why they appear to be in the state of lawlessness. And sometimes I feel this way about this country, that this country is in the state of lawlessness. It's such a wonderful and such a beautiful country, Australia. But we look around us, do we not see lawlessness around us? Do we not? We see. Alright, one very, very clear example is the rampant amount of graffitis that we see around us. Everywhere you go, you see graffiti. One small single space, people will try to do something on it. Yes. And when the vandals are caught, what happens to them? A gentle tap on the wrist, that's all. Nothing happens to them. So is this not lawlessness? My dear friends, it is. Now on an individual level, if we reject God's word as God's word, alright, this is a warning to all of us. If we reject God's word as God's word, we cannot be saved. When we reject God's word as God's word, we are telling God, just like the Jews told God, God, we do not want you to rule over us. That's what we are telling God. Yes, we have our own God. Yes, I'm my own boss. I have my own destiny and I want to control my own destiny. I want to worship myself. Now, when we take that position, we are actually guilty of breaking God's first two laws. The first law is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, thy God, am a jealous God. My dear friends, except you repent from this sin of self-worship, you cannot be saved. Except you repent from this sin of rejecting God's word as God's word, my dear friends, you cannot be saved. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came and died for us on the cross of Calvary. He shed His precious blood for us on that cross. And today He offers us salvation. And we say, yes, Lord, I want to be saved. Lord, I want to believe in You. But friends, if you really want to be saved and you really want to be saved and you really want to have everlasting life, you must necessarily repent from your sin. Even the sin of self-worship. If you do not repent, you are still living in your sin. And if we are believers and we choose to reject certain portions of God's word, my dear friends, what is going to happen to us is we are going to mess up our lives. For example, God's word says in Exodus 20 verse 17, it says, thou shalt not covet. Yes, thou shalt not covet. The last law of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now if we shut our ears to this commandment, what will happen? What's the consequence? Thou shalt not covet, and you shut our ears to this commandment. We will naturally covet. We will steal. We covet our neighbor's wife. The result is, we commit adultery. Then His word says to us, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now if you choose to reject this teaching, again you are going to mess up your life. You might end up being unequally yoked to a non-believing husband or non-believing wife or non-believing a business partner. Now I've seen miseries upon miseries of people who are unequally yoked. They married non-believing husbands, and as of the day they got married to their non-believing husbands, they begin to live a nightmare till the day they are divorced from their husbands. Or they might have partnered some non-believers in a business venture, and then they lose lots of money. Why? Because they have been swindled by their non-believing partners. Friends, let's not reject God's word. His word is given to us for a purpose. His word is profitable for doctrine. Profitable for reproof means profitable for rebuke. Profitable for correction, for instruction, so that the man of God may be perfect, matured in the faith, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And let's learn precious lessons from his word. The Jews rejected God's word, and they heaped upon themselves sins. They stored up for themselves sins for the day of judgment, and they were judged. God's wrath came down upon them. In the year AD 70, the whole city of Jerusalem was destroyed, and the temple of Jerusalem was also destroyed. Now, then, if you are a believer, if you reject God's word, my dear friends, be careful. God's wrath might just come down upon you in a very, very heavy manner. And if you are an unbeliever, if you continue to reject God's word, my dear friends, you will continue to be in the state of condemnation. Yes, you continue to reject his word, you don't want to obey his word, you don't want to believe his word, you don't want to receive his word, my dear friends, you are heading for eternal hell. Friends, let us rather be like the Thessalonians, who were very, very receptive of God's word. They received God's word as God's word, and as a result, what happened to them? As we said, they became exemplary believers. And that's what we should be. Become exemplary believers. And they became very evangelistic. They became hopeful believers. And they became joyful believers. Yes, do we not want to have this kind of blessings from the Lord? If we want, my dear friends, be like the Thessalonians. Receive God's word as God's word. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that we may be like the Thessalonian Christians who received God's word as God's word. Lord, we pray that we may allow your word to operate in our lives so that we may all become exemplary believers like the folks at Thessalonica who trusted in you as Lord and Savior and who did indeed receive your word as your word. And Father, we pray that we may indeed be like them and be exemplary, and that we may become very evangelistic. And we know that if we truly receive your word as your word, my dear Lord, we know that we would also become joyful believers, and that we will also become very hopeful believers. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.